B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to start with this story out of Wisconsin. This is actually this guy's name. Police say Vernon Schmuck Jr. Yes.
Vernon Schmuck Jr.
It's spelled S-C-H-M-U-C-K. That's Schmuck.
That's perfect.
All right, so Vernon Schmuck Jr. was arrested Monday after they found him passed out behind the controls of a forklift, which he had reportedly used to try and free his pickup truck from a ditch. Deputies received a report of a white Ford F-250 pickup truck stuck in a ditch.
Yeah, this is Foreman Dickhead. I'm out here with Schmuck.
It's the most bizarre job site ever.
When deputies arrived, they said the truck was out of the ditch, but showed evidence it had been stuck there. So Schmuck's truck was stuck.
This is beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Police then found a forklift nearby with a man asleep at the wheel. Police said that when the operator, Schmuck, awoke, they determined that he had used the forklift to try and free the truck from the ditch. Schmuck was arrested and charged with his fifth DUI offense, a felony charge, by the way.
So we're looking at his mugshot. The dude looks like a schmuck.
He does. It looks like it comes from a long line of schmucks, actually. He was taken to the Rock County Jail.
When Jebediah Schmuck first came to the New World.
Yeah.
I wonder if his last name had, like, has anything to do with
his turn in life?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Sometimes things are predicated on that.
Yeah. If you have a lousy name,
right,
and you've just dealt with it your whole life.
Schmuck is like,
and you'd go to the bottle to get over it.
It's like Munson.
Maybe. Munson. Why did I keep getting Munson? All right, a Vermont man suspected of murdering his mother in a leaky boat in 2016 and then trying to collect insurance has been charged with her death.
This is a crazy story.
Murder on the high seas,
yes,
I think, is the official charge. So after years of wrangling in the courts, Nathan Carman was arrested by federal authorities and charged with an 8-count indictment. Carman was found adrift in a lifeboat 100 miles off the coast of Martha's Vineyard in 2016 after his boat sank during a fishing trip with his mother.
You can almost hear the Dateline narration on this one.
Yeah, the body of Linda Carman was never found. At the time Carman was rescued, he explained to authorities what he said happened. He said, "I brought the safety stuff forward. I was bringing one of the safety bags forward, and the boat just dropped out from under my feet. When I saw the life raft, I did not see my mom. Have you found her?" he said. According to a federal indictment, and there's more to this, So, Carman, in 2013, also shot and killed his grandfather, John Chocolos, at Chocolos' home in Windsor, Connecticut.
Chocolos? Schmuck. Yeah. Schmuck? Chocolos.
The indictment. That's his lawyer.
Can I petition the court for new representation?
The indictment alleges that both killings were part of a scheme to obtain money and property from the estate of Chocolos. And defraud the company that insured his fishing boat. Multiple authorities have taken part in the investigation, including the FBI and the Coast Guard. Investigators were seen searching Carman's home in Vermont or in Vernon on Tuesday. It is not clear why it took 6 years for the feds to move forward with the criminal indictment.
We'll get right on it.
In 2019, a federal judge in Rhode Island decided that Carman contributed to the sinking of the boat. Judge John McConnell issued a written decision in favor of an insurance company that had refused to pay an $85,000 claim to Carman for the loss of his 31-foot fishing boat.
Carman was a bit of a chameleon.
He was.
I love it. That's good. You get this.
I was not expecting... the laugh from, what's his name?
Sloth.
From Sloth. Thank you. Oh, no.
This is the investigation taking place. Why are we doing this on a riverboat?
All right, stop it. All right. Chocolos' three surviving daughters sued Carman in New Hampshire probate court, seeking to bar him from receiving any money from Chocolis's $29 million estate.
So
there's a lot of cash
in
there.
A city of this big, we are the only three people enjoying this.
Right? Kathy's not laughing
yeah,
at
not
all.
Really.
No.
A judge dismissed a case in 2019 saying that Chocolis was not a New Hampshire resident. Blah, blah, blah. If he's convicted of murder, he faces mandatory life in prison. So that's what they're going after. Yes. Okay. Sit down. Thank you. All right. One more story. A man has been indicted for one count of cruel treatment of animals after he allegedly gave his pet monkey amphetamines.
You can't do that. They're wired enough.
Adam Cordes was arrested after an investigation by the county's dog warden that led to the seizure of a six-month-old monkey named Neo.
When I was a little boy, I had a dream to give amphetamines to a monkey.
Cordes, through his attorney, denies the allegations and is trying to get the monkey back. Attorney Lisa Rabinus said that the case is the result of a flawed investigation by Cincinnati Animal Care, which handles animal cruelty. Rabinus claims the nonprofit's dog warden staff improperly confiscated Neo and used the wrong Ohio statute to charge Cordes with a felony, two misdemeanors.
But the monkey pointed him out in a lineup.
Instead of using a statute that applies to wild enemies, deputy dog wardens charged Cordes under a companion animal law that applies to dogs and cats.
Is that the one that did it?
That's deputy dog.
Rabinus, is this the culprit?
Rabinus said the capuchin monkey is a wild animal. Under that, the worst charge he could face is a misdemeanor, two for cruelty. That's basic law enforcement. They can't even get that right. That's the lawyer speaking. So they're considering a lawsuit on behalf of Cordes, who spent 4 days in jail following his arrest and is anxious to see Neo again.
What? To get him hopped up again?
He's been without his monkey for over a month, and there's no basis for it, she said. But that's not how they see it at the courthouse. They said, according to Teresa Bullock, who owns a roughly 300-acre farm that bills itself as a forever home for domesticated primates, she said that monkey clearly,
yeah,
beyond any doubt, needed help. Bullock said Cordes contacted her on Friday because Neo was sick. Bullock said she was concerned about it because Cordes previously owned another monkey named Mo, who died in his care. So when Bullock responded, she had a veterinarian check it out, and apparently the monkey looked hopped up on drugs.
Yes, that's horrible.
They said he was harboring capuchin monkey that was being given narcotics such as an adult amount of Xanax and cocaine.
I wonder, this is probably a dumb question. I'm going to guarantee it's a dumb question. If you're allowed conjugal visits in prison,
yep,
and there are such things as support animals.
Oh, yeah. Do they bring pets?
Would they allow you to see your amphetamine-addicted monkey?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Don't really know, but one that's worth asking.
Yes, when I go in the big house, I'll ask.
Please do.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
Customers waiting in line for the drive-through at the Bojangles Eatery in Southport, North Carolina on Monday spotted an alligator crossing the parking lot, headed towards the building, and headed towards the drive-through. Apparently a person in line in their car got video of the reptile walking on the sidewalk next to the restaurant, posted the footage to Facebook, and it's not clear what eventually happened to the gator. So I don't know if they brought somebody in to move him along or what, but he wanted some Bojangles, apparently.
Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah. Firefighters have removed a man's body from a trash chute at a retirement community in southwest Atlanta. The body was found at the atrium, which is near the Atlanta University Center complex.
I've always wanted to slide down one of those.
I know. Yeah. I know, right?
The old guy did?
Crime scene tape was strung up around the back of the building where the chute appeared to empty out into dumpsters. Homicide detectives were at the scene, but police didn't suspect any foul play. They're now trying to determine the identity of the victim. They said that someone taking out the trash found the body. It's unclear how long it had been in the chute or how the victim ended up there. Residents of the community said the building is quiet, doesn't see a lot of crime or anything like that, so they're not really expecting.
One of the retirees made this statement, Preston.
I think I crapped my pants.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
A Florida woman faces multiple charges after she allegedly beat up another person's child at a school.
Oh.
Florida City Police identified Katie Ann Sewell as the woman who hit another student with a belt at the Bethel Seventh-day Adventist School on Thursday. The victim's mother, Zendray Pollard, said that her son was being bullied and defended himself against another student who was Sewell's son. She said he called and said someone was bullying him, fat-shaming him, so he picked up the child and dropped the child back down on his feet. After the incident, Sewell showed up at the school and attacked the victim with a belt, with the incident caught on camera. Pollard said her son got a busted lip after being hit by Sewell. Yeah.
Not setting a good example.
The two mothers know each other personally, and Pollard said said that she had filed a restraining order against Sewell, which was granted by a judge. Sewell was later booked on charges of child abuse without great bodily harm. A scooter driver died when she went around a lowered crossing gate and struck a passing Brightline train, the latest in a long string of deaths involving the higher-speed passenger service. So the sheriff's office said that the woman was riding a scooter in Pompano Beach when she made a left turn, went around the crossing gates, and hit the side of the train.
They're down. Don't cross.
She was pronounced dead at the scene. The woman was, listen to this, the 63rd person known to have died in a collision with a Brightline train since it began operations in the mid-2017 range.
So these suckers probably come screaming along, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, yeah, it's not crazy fast, but it's faster than regular trains. So it is the worst per mile fatality rate in the entire country.
You'd think the scooter would protect them.
Investigators have found none of the earlier deaths were the railroad's fault, determining that many were suicides or drivers or pedestrians that were trying to beat the trains.
Yeah, that's a good game to play.
The trains travel around 80 miles an hour through densely populated urban and southwestern areas along the 70 miles of track between Miami and West Palm Beach that Brightline shares with the Florida East Coast Freight Line.
Wouldn't have happened if she was wearing a helmet.
Brightline has increased its efforts to curb deaths, including installing cameras to alert crews if someone's lurking near the tracks, and adding fencing and landscaping to make access to the tracks more difficult. But people still keep getting through there, like 63 people.
I wonder how many statistically would qualify as, like, suicide by train, like where that is the intention to take your life.
It's a good question, yeah. A member of a search team who located a missing teen's vehicle in the Snake River in, I think it was in Idaho.
Isn't that where Evel Knievel jumped?
So that was Snake Canyon.
Okay.
But anyhow, or that was the Grand Canyon over Snake River. But anyhow, it stretches, you know.
It's a snake, it's a canyon, river. It's a thing.
So anyhow, listen, they found this body. They found this vehicle, this missing teen's vehicle. And the search team member said that he has never worked the case before and found the car in 20 minutes. Doug Bishop is a lead diver and lead investigator with Adventures with a Purpose, a company based in Oregon. Adventures with a Purpose has been around for about 5 years and is an underwater sonar search and recovery dive team. I don't know if they were the one in Delaware County.
I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah, it sounds familiar.
So they travel the nation investigating cold cases and helping families and law enforcement. They have over 2 million YouTube subscribers. Bishop came to Idaho Falls Sunday with his team to help in the Matthew Jed Hall case. Listen to this. When Jed was 16, left his parents' home in 2018, in the days and weeks and years that followed, Idaho Falls police detectives searched for Jed, who vanished in his 2009 gray Nissan Versa hatchback. He took a 9mm handgun and camping survival-type gear. He reportedly left a note indicating that he may attempt suicide. Bishop said, we came into this like we come into all cases. We determine if someone is missing and if someone is missing with a vehicle. We specialize in sonar the way that law enforcement doesn't have the capability. Do we have a cell phone ping, a last known locations, locations are frequented, et cetera. That's how we base the waterways that we need to search, and that's how we choose those waterways. So nobody had seen this car in years, in like 4 years. Guy finds it in 20 minutes.
It's amazing.
This group finds it in 20
minutes. Yeah. So Bishop said he and his team started the search on Sunday at 9 a.m. just south of the John's Hole boat ramp. Within 20 minutes, they discovered a vehicle underwater about 75 yards from the boat ramp in just 8 feet of water.
In just 8 feet.
I mean, it was like the one around here. It was right there, right at the restaurant, right by the pier.
Right by the pier. This has to be the same group.
Human remains were found inside the vehicle that are currently awaiting positive identification, and evidentiary processing of the vehicle is in progress. confirming there are remains in there. It is a whirlwind, he said. It's a hurricane of emotions. The only words I could give to Amy and Alan, the parents,
yeah,
is that I'm sorry. I'm absolutely sorry. So these guys are doing great work.
They are.
I have to
subscribe to that YouTube channel.
Yeah, for sure. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.